All right, welcome to New York, episode 120 today. Actually, from New York, from the scene of the crime, that is Yankee Stadium. First loss in a home opener ever for us. And it was about as heartbreaking of an ending as you can possibly have.
Yeah, I mean, I think the scene of the crime is probably the best way to describe it, because it felt like at first 2 points were stolen from us, and then ultimately all 3 points were stolen. Just, I don't know, the silence in the stadium really was the most telling part.
It felt to me kind of like something was coming, and, you know, we just got out of the player press scrum here and the press conference with Cushing, and this was by far the most fiery, the most animated that we've seen Cushing. And
most
I think
real.
And the most real. He was not in the corporate speak as much as he typically is. And we can cover some of the quotes later in the episode here. But one of the things that he said was, this was probably one of the best first 45 minutes of football that we've played, of soccer, that we've played for
2-3 years.
2-3-4 years, which would include our cup winning season. And I think he deliberately meant to say it that way. And we just came out of halftime, and it was as flat as you could possibly. It looked like the team that we saw in week one and week two crashed back to earth coming out of halftime.
Well, I think in his credit and to the team's credit, it's very hard to keep up the intensity that they had for those first 45 minutes. It was genuinely nonstop. It felt like a nonstop press. They were on the front foot for the entire 45 minutes, with the exception of maybe the last five, where Portland kind of started to build that momentum that they really brought in to that second half. And, you know, from that point, it completely turned sour.
It almost felt like with each missed Bakke chance, it dropped us down a peg. And it was, I remember, I think in the 30th minute, I look over at you and I'm like, if we don't get something, definitely before halftime, but even in the next 10 or 20 minutes, yeah, this ugly game is going to get uglier. It's going to get scrappier. And if Portland get something, just something that makes them feel right, it's going to swing their way. And obviously that is what happened. And it's hard to put a finger on what ultimately caused that.
I mean, subs could be a big thing, but the thing is that the momentum really switched from halftime on, mm-hmm, a little bit before halftime. So that momentum was already changing. And like Nick said, the subs were in response to that, not necessarily the cause of it. Although I do think that the changes made really didn't end up being positive at all. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's hard to say if another striker was on the end of those chances or those goals. It's hard to say. You can't really go back and rewrite history. But the chances that were given, or the balls that were played up, weren't being turned into chances in the same way that Mounsef was. And so I think, you know, as much as Mounsef was missing chances, he was also creating a lot of those chances from nothing.
And it was, at least in the second half, when you're looking at a Jovan and wishing that the service was there again, he was not working with the same players that Bakke was.
Right.
Hannes had obviously been taken off. Right. Jason had been taken off. And those were literally Bakke's
direct
two
support
partners coming from both sides. And Jason and Hannes both today looked great. Hannes obviously on a level even above Jason, but I'd want to touch on Jason first, because I think us and other podcasts, I know Blue City Radio mentioned it too, calling for giving Jason a go based on the fact that obviously we have all these new shiny toys and we want to play with them, but through these first two games, they've shown nothing that is going to give you confidence. So you go back to that guy that has proven MLS experience, and Jason looked great to me.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, all it really takes, aside from really finishing your chances, is like making sure that you are sprinting at the other team, especially up in the attacking, trying to force that press on them the whole time.
Right. And that's the engine that he provides.
That's the engine that he provides. Bakke provided that too. And then if we do move towards Hannes, he's only played 3 games with us now. So to say this is his best game in a jersey for us, the sample size is small. But you can see, now I can see what Cushing saw,
yeah,
when he hyped Hannes up in all of the preseason pressers.
Yeah.
I see it.
The dribbling, the decision making. There's a few things like you could point at and say that this, you didn't make the correct decision here. But at that point, you're nitpicking, because realistically not going to get perfect every single time. So with him, I thought it was a real glimpse into what he could really be and what he could develop into. And he could be a genuine world beater.
I'm hoping that Cushing will not be the guy that fumbles the development of a guy like that. Or let's call it the redevelopment of a guy like that.
Yeah, I guess we could touch on Cushing with that. Like you said, fiery in the presser, the most real that I've ever seen him. And it almost, like you said, it makes you want to believe in the project because he clearly cares so much. Whether or not, you know, coaching ability aside, you know, win percentage aside, he clearly cares. He clearly gives.
Yeah.
You just have to keep asking the question, what happened after a certain point?
Do you think that, I mean, you can't, it sounds crazy to say because you can't imagine the players are coming out of halftime thinking the job has already been done. And at this point, we have to close it out unless that was something that was relayed to them from Cushing, that we're now playing for this W, not running up the score, but playing it for it to end 1-0. Right. And yeah, I don't know what happened during halftime.
Just shift in mentality. That's really the only thing that you can point at and say. It's the mentality was no longer there to be killers. And I think we were trying to kill the game in the first half. And it's not like the players look tired, so it's not like you can use that excuse. I genuinely think that there are a lot of chances that if they obviously go in the net, we're looking at a much different game. And so
Baki, if Baki finishes every chance that he got today, we have two players in club history that have scored a poker, being Tati and him, because there were endless opportunities. And even in the scrum afterwards, he's obviously very frustrated, I think, trying to avoid the walk of doom that I would feel if I was a player. When you walk out of the locker room and it's just a line of press and
right. Like
I just had probably the worst game I've ever had, but feeling a lot of shame, very frustrated and upset, and hopefully that can lead to whatever is needed to make those balls end up in the net.
Well, I'll say this, right? We've been to a lot of games. We've come to a lot of games with press access. We've seen a lot of different results, mostly wins, and so most of the time people are very happy leaving the locker room, but we have been here for tough losses and losses in general. And the vibe of the players, I've always said, has frustrated me in the past because I didn't see players
in the past.
That, you know, they're laughing and playing on their phone and, you know, not really caring after games. This team cared.
They were upset.
Like, they were genuinely, not a single one of them wanted to do the media scrum.
No, they were pissed.
Santi was just being the best that he could be. Santi tried to be available for everybody. But, like, he had a goal. He's probably less.
He was the most personable and friendly of the bunch.
But he was also selected as one of the players that was mandatory, needed to be there.
Right.
So he already knew from the minute the blue that he was going to have to be there. Everybody else was pissed off. They looked like they just wanted to get to training and try to correct this thing.
And Cushing said it to himself in the locker room that the scene after this game was identical to what it was like when everybody found out that they had missed the playoffs last season. And that just speaks a lot to what it does mean to everybody here. And it's just what can even be done to make sure they're composed for all 90 minutes in future games.
You can really look at the first goal for Portland and say that set off a series of events that just led us to where we ended up. I mean, you can point at the refs. The ref, to me, was very quick to blow his whistle today. I don't think that was the reason we lost. I mean, there was a clear throw that went towards Portland that was in the attacking part of Portland's backfield that if it goes to us, we maybe turn that into something. But the rest of the game script showed that we were not converting chances today. So it was unlikely that we actually turned that into anything. So I can't say anything about the refs. The subs didn't make very positive or negative impacts, so they were net zero to me. In general, it was just a shift in mentality. And I don't envy being in Nick's position right now because you can tell right back, I want you to attack or I don't want you to attack. But you can't make that right back care about doing that or care about bunkering down. Like, just from the evidence on the field, Tavon, like, chasing down that ball so that it's a throw in, not a corner.
Yeah.
So clearly he had the mentality mm-hmm. and others maybe did not.
Yeah, I see Tavon. We were watching them train before on the field, and they kind of separate. They've got like the starting 11 that all kind of works, or maybe the starting 18 that all work together, and then the subs available all doing their own little kick around. Looking at the two groups, the subs were much more animated and they were having fun. And Tavon, in my opinion, was the leader of of that vibe, or that movement with them, hopping around, dancing to pregame songs. And his mentality, I think, is one that has to be on the field. The City Boys just asked him a question in the scrum about health-wise. Does he feel that he's 100%? And he was attempting to answer as diplomatically as possible and kind of, you know, caught himself and was just like, yes, yeah. yes, right. yes, I should be on the field, was right. the sentiment of what he said. And that's how I feel. I don't think we haven't been early season Alenich fans for months now.
But the honest, sad truth of that is I think today was his best game. He was much more involved. It was too. He was much more controlled and composed. There were times that I felt like he shied away from wanting the ball, which is something maybe to speak on his confidence right now. But today was his best game this season. I know three games in, you know, small sample size.
Especially with...
including preseason.
Yeah. I was going to say, with how low the bar is on the first two games... Fair. Like, if they were both twos and now he got, like, a four, it's like, it was his best, but it's still not acceptable. But I agree with you. It was that tale of two halves, though.
Yes.
And I don't know how much having somebody as, I don't know what to call it, as locked in as Jason, we can just generally call it that, attributed to making Alenich look better. I don't know, you know, as opposed to having a mishmash partners of Julian... and everyone else that has been thrown up top in front of him.
Yeah, I guess having that comfort of knowing somebody is going to sprint back. But even, like, just effort-wise, there's such a difference between the two halves. Like, first half, you see Moonstep sprint down the left back side and go back to track a ball.
Yeah.
And the first half, like, you couldn't even really get Santi to press the ball.
Yeah.
So...
and it's hard. I think it is hard when you take the players out, too. If we go back to Hannes, during the game, we were talking about how it was so silent from creation from the midfield was so silent. It was only coming from Hannes. It was only coming from O'Toole, from Jason. And aside from that, Keaton and Perea were both very quiet. And I think it's easy, or it's okay if one of them is very quiet.
Yeah.
And Perea can be that guy, and I think not only can he, but I think he needs to be that guy. And he actually was today, but we need that other piece that's just being that third or fourth option to build something on the build-up. I think it was uncharacteristic of what we saw from Keaton today in terms of going forward with the attack. In a game where our attack looked so good, for him not to be a part of it was very weird to me.
I think the midfield needed to be a little bit more cautious and back because of how well we were attacking, to be honest. It's like, they're doing such a good job up there. Let me make sure that if these chances don't get converted, which they didn't, that we're not immediately getting banged on a counterattack. Which, I mean, didn't really seem to happen too many times, but every time it did, Thiago was getting burned on a ball behind him. Mm-hmm. Like, Thiago got burned on, like, four straight through balls.
Of the same type of run.
The exact same run.
Yeah. And luckily it didn't lead to a goal, but I guess if we look at... I think the second goal is a wash. I don't know, you know, I don't want to give the team the out of, you know, what are you going to do? It was a worldie, and maybe composure was lacking because it was the 98th minute of 97 minutes of stoppage time. But with the first goal, it's hard... it was hard for us, I think, to pinpoint during it what caused it. Perea was beat on the right side as it came in to, not Thiago's man, but a man making a run into the box. But there were many guys making runs into the box, and it felt like nobody was really there to kind of shore that up.
There was a lot of guys crashing the box, and you can't really put a finger on it. I may look back, and honestly, it may be, you know, Hack's job to step up and kind of close down that space and clear that.
Yeah,
it could be Tool's job to be in that position to stop the cross. I really don't know, but all we know is they effectively crashed the box, and we did not have the numbers, which is tough. And the other thing is our goal kind of came in like a ping pong type of way, where it kind of just fell to Santi, and he was able to put it away, which it was good. But you would like to have converted some of the chances that were more difficult to create than that.
So three games in.
No wins.
Three losses, but we did get a goal, which to some may be considered a bigger saving grace than it really should be. What is your outlook on the season, on Cushing right now? I know we just got out of, what do you even call it? We just got out of, like, mandatory Cushing in training by way of what the press conference was. But if he hasn't brainwashed, is a very negative word, but if he hasn't brainwashed you through that press conference, where do you stand at the moment with the team?
I mean,
how bad is it? How bad is losing your first three games when we play a 36-game season?
I think it is bad, and I think the fact that he was so real and so honest and so open tells me that he's feeling the pressure from fans, bare minimum from the fans, but maybe even from leadership. And he was very candid in the fact that he'll tell David Lee and Brad Sims and these guys straight up that these things need to change.
And that it's his fault.
That is his fault.
150,000%.
Right. That's the exact number.
Yeah.
Not a decimal off. And so I think it's good that he is being accountable. It's good that he's being open. But it still needs to translate into more than 45 minutes of a result. Right. And so I'm always a firm believer of the fact that the coach can't go and score goals for the team.
Yeah.
He can just do his best to put players in the position to score goals. And we created like 7 solid goal scoring opportunities today that were not converted. And
Baki had 7 himself.
Do I feel comfortable firing somebody for that? No. Personally, no. So, you know, in the moment, I think it would be harsh to get rid of Nick. And I think 3 games in, you just can't make that big of a decision. I think if we go 5, 6, 7 games without a win, and we're not scoring and we're not improving, I think that the front office's hands are tied. But I really don't see that happening. I think we may honestly lose another game next week.
Against Toronto.
I think that's possible. But it's also at home. And
it's
I don't
scary.
See us losing too. You know, and it sucks too, because I was almost prepping the question before the final whistle ended, before Portland had even scored, in kind of asking, how good does it feel to defend home turf? Like, how much does it inspire the rest of the season to kind of come away with a victory at home, score a goal? At that point, I thought we might put another one on just because of that first half performance. You know, how good does that feel? And I think we as fans were robbed of that. Nick was robbed of that, and the team was robbed of that. So I really don't feel comfortable making the move now. I really think that I kind of believe in the dude almost.
Oh,
like,
no.
Sipping the tea a little bit based on his realness. But we need more of that. Like, we definitely need more of non-corporate Nick.
Non-corporate Nick.
That sounds good. We need non-corporate Nick, because that's what's going to keep... That's like what New York fans need.
I feel like
they don't need corporate speak.
Yeah. I feel like the players get non-corporate Nick and we get corporate Nick, and that's why it can feel like there must be such a disconnect from players, because I don't think we're seeing the Nick that the club and the players are seeing.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, we have to win against Toronto.
Yeah.
It is
a must win.
Yeah, that's where I have my issue, is we said this was a must win. So now that it hasn't been won, you know, what is the consequence of that?
We go again.
Yeah, that's the beauty, I guess, of the MLS and every league, is you are forced to play again in 7 days. I think this was a loss where the team is coming out of it motivated as opposed to dejected. I think Charlotte and St. Louis, we come out of that holding our heads, you know, woe is me more so, and this feels more like now we are pissed.
Now we go.
Yeah, now we go. We're pissed. We do not want to be embarrassed like this, especially at our home in front of our fans. So we need a result at Toronto. And we can't let Sean beat us. Not at home.
Oh, dude, we get to see him in person.
We can't let Sean beat us at home.
Look, there's 24,000 people that showed up today in the rain with their kids, with their toes freezing, their hands freezing, paying $27 for 7 chicken strips. It's not good enough where it is. This will never be good enough for this club. And if this continues, obviously changes will need to be made. But I do believe that the current coaching staff has at least like a 5-game blanket of safety.
Yeah. Since our off-season episodes, I think it's become more realistic. You know, I think a lot of people...
I think we got hit with reality.
Yeah, a lot of people were throwing around 10 games, 18 games, half season, whatever it may be. But I think, yeah, reality smacks you in the face when you're 0-0-3 or 0-3 and whatever the MLS table schedule is. Reality smacks you in the face, and, you know, it's easy to say it's only 3 when it's February. So it has to be a dub again against Toronto.
There's a lot of football left. There really is. There's a lot of football left.
Do you feel better at all about our over-unders, any of them?
No.
We got Asante GA, so that tally has begun. That's all we got. We didn't get a consecutive lineup. We didn't get a dub. We didn't get win by 2 or more, but we didn't get
a clean sheet.
We didn't get anything.
Bad on everything.
Yeah.
This is episode 120.
It is.
Where I told you I just kind of want to go home and go to bed. Not go to bed, but just lay in it for a minute.
Wallow.
Just sit in it for a minute and kind of, you know, the good thing about these 2 p.m. games is we get to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't have to go to bed and have nightmares of this.
So we'll be back here at Yankee Stadium next week for that Toronto game. But yeah, we will be here.
Maybe a little colder.
It might be. Well, it's a night game, so we're going to slightly hate life more.
I'm going to wear my fluffy llama socks.
Good luck socks, hopefully. So that's 120, I would say. I think it's more difficult to bring positivity to the pod when there's seemingly none within the team. But hopefully we found at least a few things to touch on in this one. So
we've had this feeling before, maybe not this low, but I think that we can only rise from here.
Yeah, not quite as inspiring as Nick Cush's press conference, like, at all.
No.
But I think they cut the lights out.
They're kicking us out.
Yeah, so...
Kicked out of Yankee Stadium.
Cops came.
Esteban, man.
That's 120. Appreciate you guys for sticking around. To anybody that made it out to the game, good on you for bracing what was a terrible weather day to witness a terrible performance. It doesn't really get better. Or it will get better. It will get better, but it doesn't get worse than what it was today. So there are there are plasticos that exist, but I don't think anybody listening to this or anybody that pulled up to the stadium today is that. So we can kind of wallow together as a fan base and hopefully come back stronger against Toronto.
Yeah, let's get a dub.
So that'll do it.
Peace.
Peace.